1 Corinthians chapter 11. And let's talk just briefly about communion and about examination before you have the Lord's Supper. Examination before the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians 11, we read verse 23 through 28. Verse 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death," and I like these next few words, "till he come. Wherefore, because that's true, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily," that doesn't mean you have to be sinlessly perfect, but an attitude of unworthiness, and we'll speak to that in just a moment, but it's very important that we understand that we're not to drink of this cup unworthily. "And whoever does shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord," of mistreating the whole matter of salvation that God has given us through his Son. Now verse 28. "But let a man examine himself," and generically that means any Christian, "let anybody examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." It's a very important thing to consider the Lord's Supper, and I believe that we need to recognize that. The Lord's Supper is not for all men. There are some churches, some religious groups where you go that anybody can partake of the Lord's Supper. And I remember as a teenager going to with my friends to some churches, and I was very surprised at who they let take the Lord's Supper. Many of those teenagers had absolutely no testimony that they had been saved. Nothing in the world would indicate through their testimony that they had been saved. And I was very surprised that they partook of the Lord's Supper. But it wasn't a big deal to them in their particular denomination or denominations. But the Lord's Supper is not for all men. The Lord's Supper is for saved people. It is for those that have been born again, those that know Christ in a right relationship of salvation, those who not only know Christ, who are saved and know they're saved, but those also, those people who are right in their heart with God. As I spoke this morning about fellowship, we were talking about a relationship that comes through salvation, and then we're talking about walking obedient to the Lord and having fellowship. And that fellowship is simply put just obeying God, doing what God tells us to do. Now, when we come to the Lord's Supper, I think that our hearts ought to be right with God. We ought to know we're saved before we partake of it, and then we ought to know that our hearts are right with God. Now, let me explain, it is not meant for salvation. There are many who believe that this is Holy Communion, or it is some kind of sacrament, and it is for salvation. It is not for salvation. Please understand that. Most of you do, but some of you may not realize that. It isn't that. There are some who teach transubstantiation. There are those who teach that the elements literally, actually become the literal flesh and the literal blood of Jesus Christ. You don't find that in the Bible. It's not what happens. And they believe by taking in the flesh and the blood of Jesus that it has part to do with washing away your sins, or bringing you to the Lord, or getting you saved. There, especially in one denomination, there are seven different sacraments. There are others that are similar. One is baptism, one is confirmation, one is the Eucharist, one is penance, the other is extreme unction, another is holy orders, and the other is matrimony. These seven sacraments. But they teach that some of these sacraments, they are sacred things, and they help you get saved. They help you come to Christ. They help you get born again. Nothing could be further from the truth. These are not meant to help you in salvation, but these elements are meant for our edification. We are to be edified. We're to be challenged, to be built up in the faith. We're to deal with who we are and how we're living and what's going on in our lives. And it's an important thing. God says, don't partake of it unworthily. If we do, we're guilty of the body and blood of Jesus. Therefore, examine. Let a man, or let a woman, let anybody examine themselves. Now, we need to have examination. That's what we need to do tonight. Search your heart. Is there anything in your heart, anything in your life, anything at all that is contrary to the will of God, that you haven't gotten right with God? You need to deal with it tonight before you partake of the Lord's Supper. It's a very important thing. And by the way, those who partake of it unworthily, many of them were sick in the early church because they did partake of it unworthily. Now, don't go around judging everybody that's sick and saying, well, I know your problem, you just don't take the Lord's Supper unworthily. But it can be that. It can be part of it. And I think sometimes it is that. So the question is, number one, have we trusted in His body and in His blood? Have we trusted not in these things, but in His body and in His blood? He gave His body. He was crucified on the cross of Calvary. He shed His blood. He took our place. He became our propitiation, our substitute, our ransom, our sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. Jesus paid the debt for our sins. I'm glad that He did. This is our symbol of that. It's a reminder of that. Have we trusted in His body and in His blood? What are the standards that He gives here? Cleanliness. Spiritual cleanliness. Spiritual cleanliness reaches all the way down in the heart. He's talking about our sanctification. When we get saved, we're set apart unto the Lord, and then we're supposed to progressively become more like the Lord. And we're supposed to have on that armor the breastplate of righteousness, where we're walking daily by living the right kind of life. The practicing of holiness in our lives is what God's looking for. God loves holiness, and God hates sin. And God is looking for holiness in my life and in your life. And that sanctification is something that He expects. Doing God's will. Having, as I mentioned this morning, no known and practiced sin in your life that you're hanging on to and holding on to. It may be liquor. It may be an adulterous attitude. It may be a fornicating attitude. It may be pornography. It may be jealousy. It may be envy. It may be pride. It may be not forgiving somebody. It could be a number of things. We need to think about all of the things that we have studied in our lifetime since we got saved that God has told us we need to be doing, and things He's told us we better not do, and learn the importance of that in the relationship to the Lord's Supper. I wouldn't want to be taking the Lord's Supper and robbing God of His tithes and offerings. That would be a bad deal. And yet some people will do that. Why would you think that God would honor you if you're stealing from Him what belongs to Him, His tithes and His offerings, and then you're going to come partake of the Lord's Supper and act as if that's not a problem in your life? Friend, it is a problem. God teaches us to give our tithes and our offerings and bring them into the storehouse, the local New Testament church. And I'm just giving you some ideas to run through your heart and run through your mind as you get ready to partake of the Lord's Supper. I'm not trying to scare anybody or trying to keep you from doing it. I'm just saying what the Bible says. Doesn't it say that? Examine yourself. examine yourself. I'm to examine myself. So if we're not doing God's will, something we are doing we shouldn't do, something that we know we ought to be doing. Has God spoken to you about teaching a Sunday school class and you're not doing it? You're out of God's will. If He's spoken to you and said, I want you to do that. Has God spoken to you about being in the choir and you say, well, I just don't have time. I don't want to be in the choir. And yet He's laid it on your heart and convicted you and said, you need to be in the choir. That's a sin of omission if you don't follow through with what God leads you to do. Has God told you to witness to somebody and you haven't done it? That's a sin of omission, leaving something out. I know that is straight, and I know that's cutting it close, and I know that's very hard, but there are sins of omission, and there are sins of commission. There are things we do that we shouldn't do. There are things that we know we should be doing, and we don't do them. So examine ourselves tonight. You and God take care of that matter. It's not my job to examine you, but it's your job to examine yourself in the presence of the Lord. And so we have the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper does a number of things, but one, it reminds us of who Jesus was. Thank God He was our Redeemer. He was the Lamb that Exodus talks about in chapter 12 and 13 and 14, right through there, where he's talking about the Lamb that was a type of Jesus. And what did they do with that Lamb? They shed the blood. And did they place the blood on the inside or on the outside? On the outside. We should not be ashamed of the blood of Jesus Christ. It should be there so that everybody would know where we stand. I'm saved and I'm glad that I am. And we know that the Lord's Supper is a reminder of who Jesus was and, of course, of what He did. I'm so glad He was willing to do it. We get so used to that story. We get so used to it. We've heard it all our lives, some of us, about Jesus came and He was born of a virgin and He died on the cross. Well, hallelujah to the Lamb. The fact that He was willing to do that, and even before the foundation of the world, in the mind of God, Jesus was already slain in the mind of God as He came and died for my sins and your sins. He paid for it. Beloved, nobody else could. I mean, there's no other way. Nobody else could do it. If He hadn't done it, we'd be lost on our way to hell. But thank God Jesus did it. He died for us. And it reminds me of what we owe Him. You see, tonight I just believe I owe God everything. Everything. I believe this is why this family is going there to obey the Lord in Thailand. Because I believe that mother and dad believe they owe everything to God. And the children have been taught that they owe everything to God. And if God says, I want you there in Thailand, that's where you go. If He says to go to India, if God told me to go to India tomorrow, that's where I'd go. But I want to tell you, He'd have to tell me. I spent a little time over there, but He would have to tell me. But if He did, I'd go. If God told me to do that, I'd do it. But He deserves everything from us. He deserves our best. He deserves our time. You know where I'm going with the rest of that? Our treasure. He deserves all of that. He deserves your gift, your talent, to be used for the glory of God. I ask you tonight, is He worthy of that? And the answer is, amen, He is worthy of that. And this is what He deserves from us, our very best. And we do it to draw us back, not to get saved again, but in a perspective, in a right relationship, in our mind, as we think about, my, I was a sinner. Hallelujah, Jesus came and He died on the cross. He shed His blood. His body was broken. All of the agony that Jesus went through. Oh yes, other people have died, and they've died as martyrs to a cause, but nobody was the perfect Son of God who was the Lord Jesus Christ in the flesh, and the only one that could do it for us. And thank God He was willing to do it. And when we think of what He's done, I don't know how, it should just draw us back. Tonight, when you get the bread, think about His broken body. And just meditate. As you hold it in your hand, just look at it. And force your mind to go back to Calvary and see Him being crucified. His broken body. And then when you take the grape juice, let it remind you of the blood that was shed. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And let it remind us of these things and draw us back into a mindset and a heart set of humiliation, of humbleness. Oh God, what you've done for me, what I owe you. And friend, if you're not saved, come to Christ tonight and get saved. These things will not save you. And if you're not saved, you have no right to partake of them. What a sad thing. It means one of two things. It means if you're not saved, that you need to get saved and trust in the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus, which is the only way you can get to heaven. Then if you're here tonight and there's some sin, you're not walking with the Lord, you're not living for the Lord, oh, you claim to be saved. Now, if I wasn't living for the Lord and walking with the Lord and doing the things God wanted me to do, I would question whether or not I was saved. That's what I was preaching about this morning. If there is no fellowship, then God says we're still walking in darkness. And if you're not walking in fellowship with the Lord, friend, I want to say it just as kindly as I can, you probably never really got the real thing. You maybe went through it, went through the motions, did it for mother, did it for daddy, did it because some other teenager wanted you to do it or whatever, I don't know. But if you're not walking with God tonight, you need to get right with God so you can partake worthily of the Lord's Supper. So you can do that. It's an important thing. And then there are those who say, oh, but I'll just be a good person. And I just will show you my morality and my character, and I just will not partake of the Lord's Supper. I have a question for you. How do you think Jesus feels about that? You say, well, I just feel I'm not going to do it. How do you think Jesus feels about it? I think he would be saddened at the fact that we would say, I'm not living right for you, Jesus. I claim to be saved, but I can't partake of the Lord's Supper out of respect. I wonder if he really thinks it's respect or if he doesn't think it's just your self-willed way of life. And that needs to be gotten right. And we need to come to Christ and be saved. Let's stand, please. We're going to have an invitation. You and God know your heart tonight. And let me say this. You may just want to come to this altar and just thank the Lord and just give him thanks and worship him a little bit. Everybody that comes down here tonight doesn't mean they're living in sin. But it could be that you know your heart's not right and you need to get things right before you partake of the Lord. You're not saved. We are not in a hurry. I want you to come down here. Brother Rigsby's here and others will be here, and you can come and we'll tell you how to be saved and you can get saved tonight. So that then you will be eligible to partake of the Lord's Supper as a born-again child of God through the local New Testament church. Father, I pray now that you would bless during this invitation. I pray that there would be some refreshing of the hearts, some humbling of our spirits before you, some concentration and focus on the cross and the work of Jesus Christ. May the Word of God do its work, and may the Spirit of God do His work. Lord, I pray if there's someone here without Christ, that that person tonight would come and receive Jesus, the only way to heaven. The fact that He died, satisfied your demands, shed His blood, was buried and arose. And He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, believing that Jesus did these things, shall be saved. I pray they'd be saved tonight. Help us as Christians to be right. We commit this to you now in Jesus' name. Amen.